Awesome songs this morning, Sean. I especially like that last one. Once again, we all stood in declaration of the fact that we believe in a risen Jesus Christ. Whether you like the song or whether you can sing the song, doesn't really matter. But you stood in proclamation of the fact that you believe that Jesus is out of the grave. And that's really what Easter is all about. I mean, when you think about it, that's why we celebrate Easter. And I know there are those people out there that go, we shouldn't celebrate Easter. We celebrate Easter every week because we celebrate the Lord's resurrection every week. And that's true. We do. We do. We come around this table, we remember His death, His burial, His resurrection. We celebrate a risen Lord every single week. But is there anything wrong with focusing on this day? Because, you know, unlike Christmas, when we don't know when Jesus was born, historically, we do know when Jesus came out of the tomb. It's proven fact. We can trace it back through the lunar calendar the Jews use. We know when Passover was. We know when He came out of the tomb. This is the day, if you will, so many thousands of years ago. Is there anything more appropriate as Christians to come together and celebrate? And all over the world today, and this is probably the best reason of all over the world, churches are packed to overflowing because people come out, they like to get dressed up, you know, and wear their Easter clothes, and they come, and if they think about it just for today, then it's worthy of our treatment of it today. And if you're here today, and you're visiting with us, and you're not used to being in church, you're not used to coming to church, but you know that Easter is one of those days when you ought to come to church, man, we're glad you're here. We hope you come back. Because really, as Christians, there is nothing more central to what we believe, what we profess, than an empty tomb. You can believe all kinds of stuff in the world, but if you believe in an empty tomb, that redefines who we are. You know, it's been said that Easter is the queen of Christian holidays. Christmas is the promise. Easter is the proof. We saw Christmas was the promise of a Messiah. Easter is the proof that Jesus was who He said He was. When He walked out of that tomb, there was no doubt any longer. There was no doubt about the fact that He was the Son of God. There is no doubt about everything He said. He confirmed it when He walks out. But I want you to understand this morning, Easter is more than just a Sunday. It's not just an event. It's an experience with God. There are many lessons that we can draw from Easter, and I just want to focus on one today. I know a few weeks back we finished up our study of the book of Mark, and I know our scripture reading came out of John today because I wanted to give you two versions of the resurrection story. I want to go back to Mark's account this morning for our time together and look at some things that I think could be particularly helpful for us. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and read Mark's account of the resurrection today. Starting in verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go, tell His disciples and Peter, that He's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see Him as He said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, For they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So these ladies, these are friends of Jesus. More than friends, they're disciples of Jesus. These ladies have been a part of Jesus' ministry from the very beginning. They went with him. They traveled with him. They supported his ministry. We saw that in the book of Mark as we were studying. And now they're coming back to the tomb to do for Jesus what they think needs to be done. They didn't have time to prepare his body properly for burial. He was taken straight off the cross and buried. They didn't have time to anoint. Didn't have time to... And they were coming back to do this after the Passover, after the Sabbath was finished. But as they're walking, they have a question that's in their head, and the question that they ask, the question that's going over and over in their mind is simply this: who can move the stone? How are we going to get it out of the way? This isn't a little rock, okay? This is probably a large, hewn, cylindrical stone. It would be on an angle. Typically, what would happen would they would cut a tomb out of a rock, kind of dig a cave out of into the side of a rock, and then they would pitch down to the edge. So you had this slope. They would have this hewn rock, this round, cylindrical stone that once the body was put into place, a rock or something would be removed, the stone would roll downhill and almost lock into place. You know how hard it is to push something uphill? Okay, that's what would lock the stone. And now these three women are coming and they're asking, they're thinking in their minds, maybe they didn't think about it before, but as they're walking towards the grave, who's going to move the stone for us? It's just not like unlocking a door. The stone was large. It was heavy. And it was in their way. And for these women, it was a barrier, a weight that needed to be moved in order for them to get to the body of Jesus. And this morning, I don't know where you are, but I can guarantee you this: you have stones in your own life. You got barriers in your own life. You got some big rocks that are floating around in your life. There's stones of sin. There's stones of failure. There's stones of disappointment, there's stones of regret, and they're all there. And they're a barrier, if you will, to us finding Jesus, to finding, as we defined a couple weeks ago, true joy, because only true joy can be found in Jesus. But sometimes those barriers are so big and they're so hard to move that we can't get through them to our source of real joy, which is Jesus, the source of that abundant life found in John chapter 10, verse 10. We can't get over our past. We can't get over our sin. We can't get over our regret. We can't get over our failures. We can't get over what others say. We can't get over whatever, because it seems big and huge and in the way. So the question is, how do we... Same question these ladies had. Their question was, who's going to move the stone? We got the same question in our life. Who's going to move it out of my way of my life? Who's going to get rid of my sin, my disappointment, my failure, so that I can get to an ultimate sense of joy? I think we can see some things from these ladies that can answer our question. How do we remove these barriers? How can I get rid of it once I identify it? The first thing you got to understand, the first thing we have to do is we got to come to Jesus. Okay. Although the women knew that the stone would be blocking the entrance to the tomb, it didn't keep them from coming. I think this is important. They discussed on their way to the tomb that the stone would be in their way. And how in the world were they going to move it? Yet it didn't stop them from coming. It doesn't matter how big or how many stones you have in your life. We all got them. What matters more is this: do we know where to go to get rid of them? The women didn't have it all planned out. In fact, they couldn't have removed the stones by themselves even if they'd wanted to. It was not an issue of their abilities at all. And understand this: if they had woken up this morning and went to the tomb based upon their own sense of logic and their own sense of understanding, they never would have went. If they sat back and go, well, does it make sense that we go to the tomb? Well, no, it doesn't make sense at all, because we know we can't move the stone. Logically, it made no sense to go. They couldn't get in, but they still went.
It's true for you and I as well. I don't know about you. I haven't got all of life figured out yet. Have you? You have all the answers? Let me just give you one piece of advice. Okay. I know I've only got 4 Sundays left with you. Jimmy will tell you why in a little bit, but here's one piece of advice I want to leave with you. Okay? If anybody ever comes to you and says, "I got it all figured out. I know all the answers," just laugh and run. Okay? Okay? Laugh first at the ridiculousness of that statement, and then run away as fast as you can. Okay? Because nobody's got it all figured out. And the scariest person in the world to me is the one who says, "I know all the answers." They are the scariest and the most dangerous, especially spiritually. Okay? Laugh and then run. We don't have it all figured out. And I don't have to have it all figured out so long as I'm in a relationship with someone who does have it all figured out. And that's Jesus Christ. You see, I think those women went to the tomb not based out of logic, not based out of reason, not based out of understanding, but for one reason alone. Jesus was there. And that's why they went. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you can find rest for your souls." You know, it's difficult to rely on someone else. In fact, most of us are so geared to be independent of anybody that we don't want to be dependent. We like to take the controls of our life. We like to have them in our own hands and not give them to someone else, especially even God. And since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve were pushed out of the Garden of Eden, we have been in this struggle with God over control. And most of the time, we'll sit back and we'll go, "God, I'll give you this part of my life, and I'll give you this part of my life, and I'll allow you to control me." But then all of a sudden, that control invades into my personality, it invades into my pocketbook, it invades into my hobbies, and all of a sudden I say, "God, I don't want you in here. You know, I'll give you a little bit of control, maybe on Sundays. But man, come Monday, God, I got this. You really don't know what you're doing in this world down here. I'll handle it from here. You can have Sundays, but I'll take the rest." That's not coming. We've been making excuses. With every stone in a life comes an excuse as to why it can't be moved. This morning, what excuses are you making to God as to why you can't say yes to Him, to His offer of salvation? What excuse is holding those stones in your life in place and weighing you down? The stones can be removed only when we acknowledge that they are in the way. You see, understand this. The women came to the tomb that day thinking Jesus needed their help. Jesus needed them to anoint His body. But they left realizing they were the ones that needed Jesus. You know, sick people who seek treatment get well. That's why we have doctors. Right? I can't wait till Matt graduates, because I'm going to get him on speed dial. And then I'm going to say, "Matt, here's what I got. Tell me what to do." And I'm going to say, "Matt, call Mike and tell him what to give me." And we'll just keep it all in the family. And I'm like, if I got to get a shot, I just get Haley to come over. She give me a shot. It's just like, boom, one-stop shop. I think y'all have set that up. You know, nurse, just right there in one spot. I don't have to go anywhere else. Right? But here's the key. Here's the key. If I'm sick and I go to the doctor, he does something to make me well, hopefully, right? But how many of you know people who know they're sick but refuse to go to the doctor. Refuse to get well. We all know it all too often, right? They wait too late to go. And when they finally go to the doctor, it was too late. If they'd only gone earlier. The same's true with Jesus, folks. He says, come to me. But he doesn't say, fix everything about yourself and then come to me. That would be about as ludicrous as me going, okay, Matt, I'm healthy, fix me. Doesn't make any sense. I've spent all week trying to get healthy so you can see me. Doesn't make sense. No, you go to the doctor when you're sick. You go to Jesus when you're in sin, right? You don't fix it all first. Why? Because he's the doctor. Come. You got a stone in your life? You got a barrier in your life to Jesus? Come to him to fix it. Secondly, there's a need for action. Okay? If the women had come that morning to the tomb and the stone would have been blocking the entrance, you and I would not be here this morning. Do you realize that? Think about that for a minute. If those women had gone to the tomb that morning and the stone was still in place and the guards were still on top, then you and I would not be here today. Because Christianity would be false. Jesus would be false. The story would be false. The promises would be false. And Christianity would never have existed from that point on. Right? But understand this. The tomb is not full. The tomb is what? It's empty. We have a risen Lord who walked out of that tomb. There is a need now for action. The question on the minds of the women were, who will roll away the stone? That denotes action. The text doesn't say, they said, well, who will come discuss the situation with us? Or who will come and debate whether the stone has been moved far enough for us to do anything? No, the question was, who's going to move it? Who's going to take action? Who will roll it away? And understand this, folks, life demands action. Spiritual life, especially, demands action. Too many times, you know, we serve a resurrected Lord, but we ourselves are the one who need to be risen from the dead. Because we live our lives, especially spiritually, dead. We sit back in a tomb most of the time wondering, can I go out? Should I stay in? How big is that stone? Who put the stone there? Was the seal actually a Roman stone? You see what I'm saying? And we sit in the tomb and we discuss and we debate and we never move. Jesus is alive. Do we understand that? The tomb is empty. That's what this Easter is all about. He's gone ahead to prepare the way for us, and now we follow. Understand, if you've got stones, you got problems. This is what I see all the time, folks, and you've seen it too. People got all kinds of problems in their lives. They got problems with their relationships. They got problems with their finances. They got problems with their health. They got problems with their marriages. They got all these kinds of problems. And you say, okay, are you prepared to do action, what is necessary to fix the problem? Well, I don't really want to do anything. Can't somebody just come and fix it for me? Is that not our culture today? Can't somebody just fix it for me? Do I have to do anything? No. You got a problem with finances? Stop spending money. You got a problem with your relationship? Start loving more. You got a problem with your weight? Stop eating so much. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's not rocket science, but in every one of those situations, action is required. We can sit and talk. You know, we can sit in here all day long. Man, I wish our church was full. I wish we could grow more. I wish we would evangelize more. Talk about it till you're blue in the face. I'm ready for somebody to get up and actually go do it. Right? Maybe we need to be resurrected. Maybe we're the ones that need a little life breathed into us to say, get up out of the tomb and actually go do what you've been talking about. Action is needed. If you got a problem, a barrier in your life, all too often we sit and we stare at it. And we think, man, that's a big stone. Well, hey, Jim, come here. Come here, Jim. Look at my big stone. That's a really big stone, isn't it? Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. We better call Don and Cana. tell them how big this stone is. What do you think the deacons are going to think about the stone? Well, I don't know. We could check with other churches and see if they have stones too. I bet they've got some stones as well. Yeah, well, we can check with those. I think there's a guy that wrote a book one time about stones and where they come from. Maybe we ought to have him in. Maybe he could do a lecture series on the origin of stones, right? And somebody goes, has anybody tried to move it? No, but we'll still talk about it till we're blue in the face, won't we? Same thing with the problems in your life. You can sit there and look at it all day. You can talk about how big it is, how pretty it is, how round it is, how it probably won't move, how it got there. But until you actually know the guy that can move it and set about taking the action to get it done, guess where that stone's going? Nowhere. Nowhere. It demands action. Lastly, keep looking up. I love this verse. In verse 4, it says, when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Now, if you and I focus on how large the stone is, or how many they are, we'll have difficulty seeing the power of God to move them. So don't forget to look up. When you feel like you can't take another step, handle another problem, experience another hurt, look up. Don't forget Paul's words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the boulders of life come to roll over you, look up, because God is the only one that can turn boulders into pebbles. But I've also discovered over the years as a minister that the story of my relationship with Jesus is not necessarily what someone else needs. They have to experience God themselves. They have to have their own connection. The women came to the tomb questioning how to move the stone, but when they arrived, their focus completely changed. Matter of fact, verse 5 says, and entering the tomb, I love it. You know, Peter and John show up. John's afraid to go in. The three women have already been in and out, right? John must be a little bit of a scaredy cat. But anyway, they go in. They had to see for themselves, and the old saying is true. And I'll tell you this, after 8 years, I know this lesson better than anything. You've heard it your whole life. You can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make them drink. That's exactly right. I figured out why that's the case. Most of the time, they're not actually horses. They're donkeys. And they got a little stubborn streak in them. Okay? And as much as you want them to move, what happens? Man, they just dig their heels and they set that rear end down and man, they ain't going nowhere. Right? They had to see for themselves. And here's what I know. We can present God's message over and over, but when it comes right down to it, it's up to the individual to actually receive and obey and live for Jesus. I mean, you may be here today because you thought Easter was the time to come, and we're glad you're here. But understand this. The responsibility for action is not mine. It's yours. And there's really nothing I can do. I have a message for you today, but it's not about me or even how I present it. What matters is you and the action that you need to take. You see, because God is calling you this morning on Easter to action, to commitment, to obedience, to faithfulness. He's calling us all to that. But just like the women in the scripture who had to decide for themselves to walk into that tomb and see, you too have to decide, am I ready to walk in and see? So understand this morning, it doesn't matter if the stone that weighs you down is a pebble or if it's a boulder, it's a hindrance to you finding Jesus. Is it in your way? Does it need to be removed? You know, for a lot of people in the world, an empty tomb is just that. It's an empty tomb. It's a hole in the ground. It doesn't mean anything more than the fact that it's empty. Or it can be the beginning of a life with a God who is eternally alive. depending upon what eyes you see with. Mark 16, 6 and 7, the man said, "Do not be alarmed." I could probably do two sermons on those three words, four words. I don't know about you. Early in the morning, sun's just come up, you're walking in a graveyard. The tomb you thought was sealed is open, and there's a guy inside that's not dead. And the first thing out of his mouth, "Don't be alarmed." Like, biggest understatement ever in the history of the world. Really? You don't know me very well, because I'm going to be alarmed, right? And especially, I don't care if I got people with me. I know there was three of them. I'm alarmed. I'm scared. As a matter of fact, I'm probably like John. I've done out of there, right? I ain't hanging around. I don't like graveyards anyway, let alone one where I don't know where the guy that was in the tomb is, okay? But he says, don't be alarmed. The guy you're looking for, Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was crucified, verifying, just so I know, we're talking about the same guy. The same guy you saw die is not dead. He's alive. Not only is he alive, he is risen, which is different than he is alive. If your translation says he is alive, mark out alive and put risen, because alive to some carries a connotation that he never was dead. Risen says he was dead and is now alive, which makes all the difference in the world, because my God defeated death and walked out right on top of it. This morning, the fact that that tomb is empty allows you the chance now to have a relationship with a God that is eternally alive. He gives that through us. He affords us the opportunity for that relationship with Him, so that when we do have barriers, problems, obstacles in our life, we've got somebody that we know still moves stones. Understand, He's still in the business of moving stones. Seek Jesus. Act. Don't wait. And by all means, keep looking up. This morning, come to Jesus. Let Him crush the weight of sin, disappointment, and despair in your life. Respond to Him today. No better time like today. If you need anything from us, prayers, if you need to respond to the gospel, we invite you to come now as we stand and as we sing. Sean?